Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. This is Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for tuning in once again and letting me in your ear. Today, this episode focuses on Stompin' at the Savoy Ballroom. And that first track you heard was Chick Webb. Chick Webb was an installation at the Savoy Ballroom. And this particular track, called Don't Be That Way, was recorded in New York City, 1934. Chick Webb. We did an episode on Chick Webb many, many moons ago, so feel free to go check that out. This is my next to last episode of the Jazz Treasury. I've enjoyed this so much, sharing the history of jazz with you for, well, since 2015, and over 60 episodes, over 150,000 downloads around the world, some great comments. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a labor of love, and jazz is just great. And today, I don't want to talk too much. Today, I want you to dance. So the first track, you probably could dance to, I hope. And we're going to move right ahead into the next track. That's Count Basie. Count Basie and his orchestra, Rockabye Basie, recorded 1939 in New York City. And I do want to read the lineup on this one, because Buck Clayton, Ed Lewis, and Harry Edison, and Shad Collins were on trumpet, Dickie Wells, and Dan Miner, and Benny Morton on trombone, Earl Warren on alto sax, Jack Washington on alto and baritone sax, Lester Young and Buddy Tate on tenor sax, Count Basie, of course, on piano, Freddie Green on guitar, Walter Page on bass, and Joe Jones on drums. And if you're new to jazz, go back and listen to Lester Young. Google that one. And Buck Clayton, and see what you find. All right. The Savoy Ballroom on Lenox Avenue between 140th and 141st Street in New York City was more than just a dance hall. It was an institution that embodied all the energy and stylishness associated with the word Harlem in the 1930s and 1940s. When a band won the approval of a Savoy crowd, it had arrived. The ballroom set a standard for dancing, music, and fashion that touched the whole of the Western world. How about a little Duke Ellington and his orchestra? Truckin' on the Jazz Treasury.
As soon as the news got round, the folks downtown came up to Harlem, saw everybody truckin'. It didn't take long before the hi-hats were doing it, Paul Cal were doing it all over town. You see them scufflin', shufflin', truckin' along. It spread like forest blaze, became a craze, and thanks to Harlem now, everybody's truckin'.
Duke Ellington, he's truckin', 1935, New York City. The richness of Ellington's orchestration and the sheer variety of his textures is quite startling when heard alongside other, more conventional bands of this time. Duke had two bass players at the time, and the buzzing excitement of this whole piece drives from their energetic pounding and slapping. Ivy Anderson's cool, quizzical voice provides a delicious contrast. The tenor saxophone solo you heard was by Ben Webster, another name to look into. This is the first of several songs about dances in his collection. I do want to read the personnel on this one as well, because there are some names in here you should look up. Duke Ellington and his orchestra at this time featured Rex Stewart. Just did an episode on him. Rex Stewart was on cornet, Arthur Wetzel, Cootie Williams on trumpets, Lawrence Brown and Tricky Sam Natten on trombones, Juan Tizol on vibraphone, Barney Bagard on clarinet and tenor. We had an episode on him. Johnny Hodges, Otto Hardwick, alto saxophone. We had an episode on Johnny Hodges. Ben Webster was mentioned on tenor. Harry Carney on baritone sax, Duke Ellington on piano, Fred Guy on guitar, Hayes Albus, Billy Taylor playing the bass here, and Sonny Greer on the drums, and Ivy Anderson doing the vocals. New York City, 1935, truckin'. Everything about the Savoy Ballroom in the very heart of Harlem was big. It was a whole city block long and had the best music, the most stylish dancing, and the most lavish fixtures and fittings, including a marble staircase. At the height of its popularity, in the late 1930s, as many people crowded on its polished maple floor that the whole thing, all 200 feet by 50 feet of it, had to be replaced every couple of years. It used to be said that if someone could only figure out a way of harnessing all the energy being put out on that floor, it would generate enough electricity to keep every light in Manhattan burning for 24 hours. In the 1920s, Harlem was bursting at the seams as more and more people crowded in from the South, drawn by the work and the relative freedom of life in the city they were already calling the Big Apple. They were mainly young, keen to enjoy life, and had a little spare cash. The idea of opening a very big, fairly cheap, free and easy dance hall for them would have come to somebody sooner or later, but the ones who got to it first were Mogale and Charles Buchanan. Mogale, a successful Jewish band agent, raised the money and booked the bands, while Buchanan, a black businessman well known in Harlem circles as a straight dealer and a supporter of good causes, managed the place day to day. Right from the outset, it was made clear that there would be no creeping segregation at the Savoy. It would be nothing like the Cotton Club just up the avenue, with its white clientele, black staff, and black entertainers. Anyone's money was as good as anyone else's. At 50 cents on weeknights, 75 cents on weekends, it was not expensive. It opened for business on the 12th of March, 1926. Let's go to Benny Goodman, stomping at the Savoy on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. That's Benny. Benny Goodman and his orchestra, Chicago, 1936, stomping at the Savoy. This curiously sedate version of the Savoy anthem by the King of Swing was a big hit in 1937. Goodman later adopted the piece as a permanent part of his quartet repertoire, where it was played much faster. It was the usual practice at the time when a name band recorded a tune for its leader to receive a share of the publishing rights. That's why Goodman's name appears on the composer credits. Benny Goodman. Are you new to clarinet? Listen some more Benny Goodman. Now, Charles Buchanan was determined that the Savoy should be a respectable and well-conducted establishment. He employed a corps of polite but formidable bouncers, among them the mountainous Big George, whose efficiency in ejecting troublesome characters made him a Harlem legend. Loud cursing or simply boisterous behavior was enough to attract his professional attention. Buchanan also operated a dress code, although there was no real need for it. Dressing up was an essential part of the Savoy experience. The ballroom was an instant success, soon attracting dancers from far beyond the confines of Harlem. Its official tagline was "The Home of Happy Feet," but to Savoy regulars, it was "The Track." Many dance styles were perfected there, the Susie Q, the Shag, the Big Apple, but the dance for which it will always be remembered is the Lindy Hop, later to be known by the name of its white variant, the Jitterbug. The Lindy Hop broke through at exactly the same moment as swing. The music and the dancing were two halves of the same popular phenomenon. Swing was the Lindy in music, and the Lindy was swing on legs. The great experiment of Prohibition was over, and the Depression was beginning to lift as the New Deal took hold. The swing era, that magical period when the best was also the most popular and the most creative music and dance was also the most fun, had started. And the music was continuous. At the Savoy, there were two bandstands, side by side. When one band took a break, the other took over. One stand would be occupied for long periods by a house band, notably Chick Webb and his orchestra, or the Savoy Sultans, and the other by the visiting attraction. No visitors could ever assume they would score a bigger hit with the dancers than their residents. All right, here's a name that was new to me, and I've been listening to jazz for 45 years. I'm always learning something new, but the name is Andy Kirk. Andy Kirk and his Clouds of Joy, Christopher Columbus. Thank you.
listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
That was Andy Kirk and his Clouds of Joy, Christopher Columbus. And that was recorded in New York City in 1936. And might be some people in here. Harry Lawson, Paul King, and Earl Thompson on trumpets. That name Lawson, you might look up on the trumpet. Ted Donnelly and Henry Wells on trombone. John A. Harrington on alto and clarinet. John Williams on alto and baritone. Dick Wilson on tenor. Mary Lou Williams on the piano. Look that name up. Ted Robinson on guitar, Booker Collins on bass, and Ben Thigpen on drums. Christopher Columbus. When the USA entered World War II in December 1941, performers and audiences alike soon felt the effects. Many of the young men who were among the Savoy's most enthusiastic regulars were drafted into the forces. New York became one huge transit camp. Troops came from all over the country to await shipment to Europe. With nothing to do but wait, they went looking for fun and female company, and they found plenty of both at the Savoy. But crowds of bored soldiers on the loose will sooner or later start trouble, and since many of the young soldiers were from the South, where racial mixing along Savoy lines was unheard of, insults flew and fights started. Things became so bad that in the spring of 1943, Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia used his special wartime powers to close down the Savoy. Let's do another dance. How about Ella Fitzgerald with Chick Webb and his orchestra? I'm Just a Jitterbug. Fitzgerald with Chick Webb and his orchestra. I'm Just a Jitterbug, New York City, 1938. During her days with Chick Webb, Ella's repertoire was packed with cheerful pieces of novelty nonsense like this. It was recorded at the same session as her first big hit, A Tisket, A Tasket. Although show-stopping jitterbug sequences in shows and films tended to go at breakneck speed, this was much more like the usual tempo. It gave the ordinary social dancers a chance to cut a rug and go through their favorite steps, smoothly and gracefully. Indeed. The post-war decade saw dance halls everywhere closing down or being converted into supermarkets, bowling alleys, and carpet warehouses. Yet the Savoy hung on. In a 1951, the management issued a 25th anniversary souvenir booklet. But in July 1958, the good times finally stopped rolling on Lenox Avenue. There was no grand finale, no official farewell to an institution that had played such an important part in the popular culture of the century. The only notice taken by the media seems to have been a small news item in the New York Times. It concerned a Steinway grand piano from the ballroom's huge double bandstand. And over the years, this instrument would have felt the magical touch of Basie, Ellington, Earl Hines, Teddy Wilson, Mary Lou Williams. The list of great pianists who must have played it goes on forever. It was knocked down at auction for $450. In due course, the ballroom was also knocked down. A modern housing development and a supermarket now occupy the site between 140th Street and 141st Street. Nobody has thought to mark the spot. That's a crime, isn't it? The Savoy Ballroom was not just an enormous fun place. It was where great bands and musicians developed their art, and where social dancing by ordinary people attained unprecedented heights of skill and virtuosity. But the most important point of all, perhaps, was that it was acknowledged that the Savoy was a place where Black America could show the rest of the world a thing or two about grace, beauty, and creativity, and active enjoyment. Of course, it did not seem such a big deal while it was still going on. People do not notice things like that when they are having a good time. Let's have a good time. Let's play the Ink Spots. Stomping at the Savoy.
Savoy.
Home of sweet romance.
Savoy.
It wins you at a glance.
Savoy.
Gives happy feet a chance. Something close to mine, divine.
While the band is swinging and the cats is singing, never tired of romping, stomping with you at the Savoy.
What joy,
a perfect holiday,
Savoy,
where we can glide and sway,
Savoy.
Now let me stomp away with you.
A clinging vine, so soft and sweet as wine, so warm and close to mine, divine. How my heart is singing while the band is swinging, never tired of romping, stomping with you at the Savoy, what joy.
A perfect holiday.
Savoy.
Where we can glide and sway.
Savoy.
Now let me stomp away with you. Da 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 da. Jean.
All right, and that's the Ink Spots, 1936 in New York City. If you like vocals, jazz vocals, please go back into their catalog. And that was their arrangement of Stompin' at the Savoy. And just to let you know, the Ink Spots deserve to be called out. Charlie Fagua on guitar and vocal. Hoppy Jones on bass and vocal. Jerry Daniels and Derek Watson do the vocals. So two got all four singing, but with one guitar and one bass. The Ink Spots, 1936. All right, let's go into something more recent. Someone discovered a few years back named Nellie McKay, born in 1982, I believe, in London, to a British dad and an American mom. I think the first album's around 2002. Get Away From Me. That's the first one I heard. It was really, really good. And then she put out an album later on called As Normal as Blueberry Pie, a tribute to Doris Day. And I'd like to play you two tracks from that to finish up. I'm trying to play as much music as I can. We're going to hear Crazy Rhythm and Do, Do, Do on the Jazz Treasury.
Crazy rhythm, here's the doorway. I'll go my way, you'll go your way. Crazy rhythm, from now on we're through. Here is where we have a showdown. I'm too high hat, you're too low down. Crazy rhythm, here's goodbye to you. They say that when a highbrow meets a lowbrow walking along Broadway, soon the highbrow, he has no brow. Ain't it a shame, and you're to blame. What's the use of prohibition? You produce the same condition. Crazy rhythm, I've gone crazy too. Now every Greek, each Turk, each Latin, the Russians and Prussians as well, when you seek the lure of Manhattan, you're sure to come under this spell. Your native folk songs you'll soon throw away. The Harlem smoke songs you'll soon learn to play. Can't you fall for Carnegie Hall? Oh, Danny, call it a day and we'll say, crazy rhythm, here's the doorway. I'll go my way, you'll go your way. Crazy rhythm, from now on we're through. Get on now, go. Here's where we have a showdown. I'm too high hat, you're too low down. Crazy rhythm, here's goodbye to you. Shoo, shoo, they say that when a highbrow meets a lowbrow walking along Broadway, soon the highbrow, he has no brow. Ain't it a shame? And you're to blame. What's the use of prohibition? You produce the same condition. Crazy rhythm, I've gone crazy too. Kick it! Absolutely pimp. That's fine. Down low. Jazz. I'm feeling hot as Brian. Crazy rhythm, here's the doorway. I'll go my way, you'll go your way. Crazy rhythm, from now on we're through. Oh, here is where we have a showdown. I'm too high hat, you're too low down. Crazy rhythm, here's goodbye to you. They say that when the highbrow meets a lowbrow walking along Broadway, soon the highbrow, he has no brow. Ain't it a shame? And you're to blame. What's the use of prohibition? You produce the same condition. Crazy rhythm, I've gone crazy too.
You done, done, done before, baby. Do, do, do what I do, do, do adore, baby. Let's try again, sigh again, fly again to heaven, baby. See, it's ABC. I love you and you love me. I know, no, no, what a bo-bo-bo should do. Baby, so don't say it won't come true. Baby, my heart begins to hum. Dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dum-dum. So do-do-do what you done before.
That's Nellie McKay. Look her up. Great sound. First you heard Crazy Rhythm, then you heard Do Do Do. My name is Rich Sylvester, and I want to let you know most of the information you heard today on this episode of the Jazz Treasury was from the magazine collection called Jazz Greats, and I managed to collect 65 of them. Now I found out there's 80. I can't find out. I was in the UK in the 90s when it first came out and was able to get 1 through 65. And then I left the UK, and it continued going for a while, and they're kind of hard to find, but a great collection. Every 2 weeks it came out with a CD and a magazine about that CD, and I've learned so much from that. And on top of that, I get information from online, and being raised around New York, I was able to hear a lot of, around New York City, growing up, heard a lot of great jazz in the clubs, so I love the music, and I love to share it. And next time on the Jazz Treasury, and the music you hear on the background, in the background, that's Benny Green. Benny Green off doing a track called The Folks That Live on the Hill. And a great sound, great pianist, Benny Green. Check him out. And please go to our iTunes podcast area and give us a like, give us a review, and rate us. That helps goes up. Get to us on Facebook. Message. Tell us what you like. Until next time, we'll be hearing Eddie Condon. Until that time, enjoy the jazz, and thanks for listening.